Tonight's shir, Parshas Achrimos Kedoshim. As a head of a hospital here in Eretz Yisrael, he was a non-religious man. But one thing he used to do regularly is on the yard site of his father, he used to come to the shul in the hospital for Shacharis to say Kaddish. To come just and come to the shul to say Kaddish for his father. And the Rav of the hospital thought that, you know, perhaps there's something better he can do. I mean, it's very nice to say Kaddish for his father, but what about like davening, saying Kriyat Shema, putting on tefillin, you know, like the basics. I mean, so yeah, the Shaila, what should he do? What should he say? You know, should he leave him and say Kaddish? That's a tremendous name, Kiddush Hashem, saying Kaddish, or perhaps not. So they asked the Shaila to Rav Yashiv. And sure enough, he said that, you know, it's very nice to say Kiddush Hashem and encourage him, the head of the hospital, to do so. But, l'maisa, what's a chov is a chov. Kriyat Shema Tefillin, I think those are something you have to do. Saying Kaddish is a nice thing, but it's not one of the chiyuvim yid has to do every day. So therefore, if it's one or the other, it's better that the doctor, instead of saying Kaddish, should rather, you know, put on tefillin, say Kriyat Shema, whatever, instead. Of course, better. It's best to do both. But brings here, it's based on the Pasuk, Nachremos V'nasan Es Hektores, that there was once a chassid, and came to the Ger Rebbe, and he was upset, he was bothered. Why? Because the Rebbe decided to make Shacharis at 7 o'clock. Which was unusual chassidim, you know, a lot of them like to daven later hour. And he started to makdim shacharis, proper time, to say kriyat shema, bizmano, right? 7 o'clock shacharis. So the chassid came to the Rebbe and he said, Rebbe, he says, what can I tell you? He says, I lost all the you know, taste for davening, no time in davening it. He says, why? He says, well, I know, I used to get up nice and late and make my way to the mikvah peacefully, you know, go to the mikvah, come home, and then go learn a daf yomi, and then, you know, then daven, and then I got a geschmack in my davening. But now, 7 o'clock, davening, quick, I lost all my time for davening. So the Rebbe answered him, he says, we say in Pitu Mektores, right, we said that in the Torah says, "Ilu hayan nosen ba korto shel dvash, ein adam yachol amod mipnei reicha." That had they put, Maimer says, had they put a little bit of dvash inside the Torah, they would have had such an unbelievable smell, an aroma that you wouldn't be able to stand. You would fall over from the front, a tremendous aroma. So the Maimer continues, "V'lama ein ma'arvim ba dvash?" Says the Maimer. So, no, why didn't they put dvash in it? The answer that it says is Mipnei Shatora Amrak. He calls Sahor V'chol Dvash. Looks like the Rimenu. Mimenu Yishel Hashem. Why? Because the Torah says no. It has wonderful smell in it. Yeah, wonderful smell. Honey, great. But the Torah says no. Smaili said to the Chassid, same thing over here. There's certain things, you know. Yeah, it'll be great. Geshmak, whatever. Okay, but if it goes against the Torah, same thing. Dvash is very nice, but it goes against the Torah, goes against the Torah. Same thing. It's very nice, geshmak and davening, sleep in, that. But the Torah says you gotta say kriyat shema with such a desire. All the sweetness doesn't count when it comes to what the Torah says. So, Maise was on the Pasuk V'chai Behem, a person. If he listens to the Harav, the Gedolim, he only benefits. The Rav Tuvia Spiegel Zatzal, he was very close to the Chazon Ish. He had a business, like a sewing supplies, very successful sewing supplies business. We were in imports, different, you know, buttons and thread and all these type of things. And he was doing quite well. So this is just before the war, the Second World War. And 3 weeks before the war, he made an order, a very, very, very large order, a shipment from Germany of sewing supplies, with tremendous amount of money he paid. And it was to come by ship. So word was getting out that the war was going to develop. And therefore, it's, they advised them that since this stuff was coming by ship, that he should insure, you know, take out insurance for the boat, you know, because since it's a tremendous amount of money invested. So he went to the Chazon Ish, who he was very close to, and he asked the Chazon Ish, what should I do? Should I buy the insurance? It's very expensive, you know, insurance. So should I pay for the insurance or should I not? So the Chazon Ish asked him how much money is the insurance. So he told him. He says, instead of buying insurance, he says, give that money to yeshivas. Fine. So the Rebbe said, and that's exactly what he did. He took that sum of money, which he would have paid for the insurance, and he gave it to yeshivas. Sure enough, what happened? The boat set sail from Germany, and the war got started, and that was it. Never heard anything of the boat anymore. It disappeared, and with the merchandise, and goodbye. He didn't. It's lost. So, okay, but, you know, Gamzu Latov didn't have any tainus. Whatever. Wasn't insured, but Chazon Ish said, so finished. Took it happily. In the meantime, during the war itself, this Rav Spiegel died. And after the war, his almana, one day, gets a letter in the mail. She opens it up. She's shocked. There was a huge, huge check in there. Tremendous sum of money. So she's, well, what's this for? So she reads it. What happened was, the ship that had set sail, right, that got caught in the middle, with all the sewing supplies before the war, it went, when it's, you know, the things got rough, so the ship turned around and went back to Germany with all the supplies, whatever, etc. And the company that he had, Rav Spiegel had purchased from, they, you know, they got all the supplies back, and they, that's it. So what happened? Unbelievably, all this money that he had paid him, since he was very honest, always paid up on time, etc. So he had paid for all these supplies. So after the war, they wrote a check for the entire sum of all the supplies that he had paid to return it. It never got to him, and he sent the check back to him, which now his almana had. And his children said that there's the mother, the almana, was lived for many years on that check that they got from the company. We see that in the end, listening to the Chazon Ish, it all paid off. Move on to Parshas Kedoshim. It says in the pasuk, "Ishavi ve'imo," or "Ishimo v'aviv tirao," and one has to fear his parents. So Zashayla brought from a doctor. He worked in the Ichilov Hospital in Tel Aviv, and he had the following shaila. He says that right now he works in Tel Aviv, and is you know, he lives there, etc. And he just got a job offer, a very attractive job offer, to work in the hospital Sirocco, which is down south in Beersheba. So obviously he would have to pick up and move. You know, it's quite a distance. But the job was very enticing because now he's just a regular doctor. There he'd be the head of the whole ward, and which means a big hike in pay and stature and good for his career, you know, etc., etc. And it was very tempting. Okay, so what was the shaila? Shaila was, though, that his parents live also in the center near where he's living now, and he takes care of them on a regular basis. And if he would leave to down south, you know, he couldn't take his parents because they're old or whatever, and it would affect, you know, his parents because he wouldn't be able to help them. So shaila was, could he, should he take this job down south? So the answer that was given was that no, he shouldn't. It says, and we say every morning, "Elu dvarim shadam ochel peroseim b'olam hazeh, ben keren kayem es olam haba." Was one of them kibud aveim? Meaning, they told him that kibud aveim is one of the things that, besides the reward in the next world, you get reward in this world as well. They said, if you're mechabed your parents, don't worry. They told him, it'll pay off even in this world. You'll see. So he accepted the psak, he turned down the job in Beersheba. A little while later, he comes back and he says, guess what? I got another job offer. This job offer was even better than the first one. And where is it? Right where I live. I don't have to go all the way down south. I was also here. I got a dafka to be a doctor in my my specialty, and it's I have high pay, the whole thing, be the head of the department, exactly what it was down south, even better. And he could take care of his parents at the same time. So he sees that, again, listening to the psak, only benefit him. And as we say, it's things that a person gets per se olam haza. Question was asked, though, hypothetically, what would be, though, if the job we're talking about was not a secular job, like this was being a doctor, but let's say it was a Torah job. You know, a person, let's say, is a learning kol or whatever, and he gets an offer to be a Rosh Hashiva somewhere. Okay, but where he is now, he's taking care of his parents, and he'd have to leave his parents. Would that apply even to a Torah dick job? So the answer is given with Maisa Shaya. Maisa we can learn from. Maisa Rav, as they call it. Rav Yecheskel Levinstein, when he was young, Avreich, and he was learning, he was living in Kelm. And as an Avreich, nowadays, in those days for sure, barely made ends meet. They were very, very poor. And he was learning in Kelm. So Rav Aaron Kotler, that's all, he was living in Kletsk at the time, sends a message to Rav Yecheskel Levinstein that he wants him to come to be the Mashkiach in Yeshiva, which was a tremendous opportunity, because now he's just a poor Avreich, and now he has a nice job, whatever. So what happened? He refused. Why did he refuse? Because, similarly, his mother-in-law, not even his mother-in-law was living there with them, and she was 83 years old. 86 years old, excuse me, she's 86 years old, and, they were taking care of her, and she wouldn't be able to make the move to Kletsk, and it would mean, not being able to take care of his mother-in-law. And therefore, even though it was also a good opportunity, he turned down the job, and that was that. However, what happened was 3 years later, when the mother-in-law was 89, she was nifter, and Rav Aaron offered him the job again. Now, there was nothing stopping him, and then he took the job. But here we have a Maaser Rav. Here we see that when it comes to taking a Torah job, the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim takes precedence. Leave your parents, see what it means to go to a Torah-dik job. Pasuk Al Tifnu El Ha'elilim. Don't turn to the idols. There was a Maaser of a Yid. And he had his profession was a lighting. It was just install lighting, but like industrial, like not just a person's home, a little light bulb, but industrial buildings and things, whatever. And he got a job offer, which he had a shiloh about. What was the job offer? A church, a big, big, big church, needed to hold all the lighting to be done, which is a huge job, and they offered him to do the job. Now the profit, just the profit on this job, would amount to $500,000 profit. Okay, 500,000 shekels profit for this job. It was a big job. Now, of course, the shiloh was it's a church. Should he, put in the lighting for the church? The Shaila was sent over to Rav Michal Yehuda Lefkowitz, that's all. And if he asked if I could do such a thing. So the response was that even though it is not per se aser, but you won't see bracha from the money if you take that job. Okay, so the man said, fine, I'm not going to take a job that I'm not going to see bracha from. Now, he said it was a big nisaya not to take the job. First of all, because there's a lot of money involved. And even more so, he said, there was a fellow who was his competitor. And there's not such a big market for these things, in people in this business. But there was basically him and another guy. And the other guy is his competitor. And he figured if he's going to say no, they're going to turn to his competitor. And he's going to get the job. Once he gets the job, that's But, okay, but listen to the Rav. Not going to get a bracha from the money. No, I don't want that. So he said no, it's hard nisayon, but he said he's not taking the job. So what happened? Sure enough, they went to his competitor and they hired his competitor. But what had happened? So his competitor signs with him and everything, and he told him that he needs money he has to put out for materials, right? So just the materials alone for the job is 300,000 shekels in materials. So they gave him a little down payment of 50,000 shekels, just as a start, you know, down payment, again, 50,000 shekels to go start with buying the materials. Fine. So the guy went and he bought all the materials, 300,000 shekels worth of materials, and they'd only given him 50,000, but his own money, you know, he put out 300,000, and he brought it over to the church, he had to put it inside, whatever, and he told him, fine, I'll come tomorrow, I'm coming and starting to work. Good. So, next day rolls around, comes there bright and early, and there's like a shomer, you know, a guard at the door, and he says, who are you? And he says, I'm here to install electrical work, you know, that. He says, what are you talking about? He says, yeah, yeah, you know, I brought an electrician here, and now I'll show you my card, you know, they hired me, and that. They said, I don't know. And he said, no, you speak to the people, you know, you can ask them. So he called, they call, calls him, he goes, hangs up. He goes, no, nothing doing. They don't know anything about you. Get out of here. You have nothing. He goes, what do you mean? I said, no, no. And he goes, I'm not leaving. What do you think? I have $300,000 worth of shekels worth of equipment in there. What? He says, get out. And the shomer pulls his gun out on him. He says, get out of here or you're dead. So he had to run away. And then that was the end of that. He was scared to toveya them because, you know, what would be. So he ended up, he lost basically net 250,000 shekels. So our man who asked the shayla, Baruch Hashem, he knew I wasn't going to speak bracha, and he was right. There was a from Lev Lachim in Haifa, one of the Avrechim that worked for Kiyuv of Rechokim, tells that there he went. He was to go. He's, went to a certain mishpacha and he was teaching them Torah or whatever. And a neighbor, they went to their house, and a neighbor was over here, you know, overheard the Torah being taught, and it interested him. So he approached the Avreich and he says, can you teach me Torah also? The Avreich says, Besimcha, of course, sure. So he said to him, oh, great, so can we, you know, kovea something? He goes, yeah, wonderful, when should I come over? He says, well, he says, stories like this. He says, I'm a very, very busy man. I have a restaurant. And it's a very popular restaurant, very busy. And I'm there like most of the time, and day and night. And I really, you know, can't leave. So would you be able, I mean, I feel a little uncomfortable asking you, but would you be able to come to the restaurant and we learn there? You know, find a quiet corner and learn in my restaurant. So the Avreich said, sure, you know, why not? Fine. Okay, so it comes there, and sits down, little booth in the corner, whatever, and they start learning. And then all of a sudden he starts, pun intended, smelling something that wasn't so ay-ay-ay. So he starts looking around, he sees, to his shock, that it was, not only was it not a Mahadran restaurant, it was a totally treif restaurant. Oh, he's selling tarfas. So he was like, he couldn't believe it, you know. So he didn't know what to do now, right? Because here's a guy who was very interested in Yiddishkeit, and Lafech, he thought maybe if he, you know, learns with them enough, he can convince them to, you know, kasher is his restaurant, whatever. But, you know, if he's going to say, I can't learn, he won't learn with them, and chaval. But Mitzat Sheni, he felt funny learning in this treif restaurant, you know? So he went back to his kolel, and he discussed it with the people, and his fellow Avrechim, you know, what do they think? What should he do? So they said, listen, you know, it's chaval, you should continue learning with the guy, and you'll see, you'll have such a hashpana, and he's probably going to make his restaurant kosher. So he said, okay, he heard what they said, and he went back and to learn with them in the restaurant. So once he's sitting there learning, and all of a sudden, his eyes almost fall out. Why? He sees a guy, a frum-looking guy, come in, sit down, order, and starts eating there. So he's like, what's going on here? So he quickly runs over to the guy, and he says, what are you doing? So he says, excuse me, what's wrong? He says, how can you eat here? He says, why? He says, this place is totally treif, and you're a frum guy. How do you, can you eat a totally treif restaurant? He says, it's treif? He says, yeah, what do you mean? He says, well, listen, you know, I'll tell you the truth. I knew this was a treif restaurant. I mean, for years it's been here, a treif restaurant. But then I saw you sitting here with, you know, your payas and, you know, a Haredi guy. So I assumed the place would turn kosher to 100. Anyways, so that, you know, added a new side to this whole story. You know, it's one thing, you know, thing, but now he's being machshel other people eating there. So he brought this shaila to Rav Zilberstein, and they said, "What should I do?" So interesting. He said, Bey told him the read to him the reminded him of the Gemara in Tainus, right, where Rav Broka was in the shuk and he bumped into Eliyahu Navi, and he wanted to know if there's anybody here in the shuk who's a Ben Olam Haba. So Eliyahu first said no, and then he said, "Oh yeah, here this guy came in, him he is." So Rav Broka was shocked because the guy looked like a goy. He wasn't wearing tzitzis, he was dressed almost like a goy. So he ran up to the guy and he started schmoozing with him, whatever, and he found out, you know, like what's going on. So without going through the whole Gemara, but Kitzer came out that this guy, he used to hang around the high officials who thought he was a goy, and that's because he disguised himself as a goy. He used to hang around the goyim, the high officials, and pick up when they were discussing gezeira against the Jews. He would, you know, listening because he was right there, and he'd run back to the rabbanim and tell them to daven, and they would daven, and again gezeira mimavatel. Gemara says. Anyway, so based on this Gemara, Rav Zilberstein wanted to suggest that maybe he should just, this Avreich, should continue going to the restaurant, but just, you know, take off his Haredi attire, you know, look like a, put on a baseball cap, you know, wear a baseball shirt, I don't know, whatever, like not dress like a from person, and then you won't be machshel anybody, and then and still have a hashpah on the guy. He said that's what he thought. But then he asked Rav Eliashiv what he thought of the matter, and he said, nothing doing. He says, you can't do that. He says, you can't take off your Haredi dress, because that's a Chilul Hashem. He says, you can't do that. Okay, so which means, you know, you wouldn't be able to teach a guy, okay, whatever, what is is. But you can't be there dressed like a Haredi, and you can't not dress like a Haredi. So he, Rav Zilberstein asked Rav Eliashiv, but what about the Gemara? You see that a person could do that, you know, for a good purpose, to dress like, take off his Haredi suit. So Rav Eliashiv says, it's not the same. He says, over there, in the case of the Gemara, with the man that Rav Broka met, he said, there, all the Yidden, like Rav Broka was, you know, visiting, but the Yidden in the town, they all knew that this guy, their fellow Yid, and who he was really, and what he was doing, and why he was doing it. Like, they knew the guy. So it wasn't the Chil Hashem, because everybody, all the Yidden knew what this guy was, who he was, and what he was doing. Whereas over here, you know, here you are in person, all of a sudden people see you one day without your thing, they don't know what you're doing exactly, and that's Chilul Hashem. So he said, no good. There was a similar story that the Rav, big one of the Gedolim, he lived in Switzerland, in Zurich. His name was Rav Yaakov Reich. And he tells a similar story. He says there was a refugee after the war from Poland who ended up in Switzerland, and he was a real real Yid, you know, with the long payas and a long beard or whatever, and he was living after the war in Switzerland. And then he asked him when he got older, so he had a son who was living in America. And he was quite well to do, and he tried to convince his father. He said, "Why don't you come here? You know, I can take care of you, and I have the means, whatever. And why, instead of, you know, being all alone there in Switzerland, come to America, whatever." So he decided to accept the offer because it was hard for him being old. So he ended up moving to America to be with his son. So word got out, got back to a Breisch in Switzerland, that this Yid, all of a sudden, he's found out that he's cut off his payas, shaved his beard, whatever, and he was shocked because he was like, "Mama's a, you know, a sincere Yid, you know, from the old country or whatever." And all of a sudden, he like, "What's going on with him?" He was shocked. So he contacted him and to find out what's going on. So he says, "I heard you cut your payas, your beard. Like, what is it? What's going on?" So he said, "I'll tell you what happened." He said, "I came to, you know, be with my son. My son was not religious, not at all, not didn't keep anything. And he had the restaurant. And he asked me if I would learn Torah with him in his restaurant. So I said, okay, but then I found out that in the restaurant he serves pork. It's a little treif restaurant, it's with pork, everything that works. So I thought, you know, what am I going to do? I can't sit there with my payas and beard and learn Torah in this restaurant. People are going to think it's a kosher restaurant, like we saw in the other story. So he said, therefore, I decided, I didn't want to, you know, say no, because it was a good opportunity to learn with my son, etc. So I decided it's worth it to cut off my payas and my beard or whatever, in order that I could, nobody would know I'm, you know, a religious man, and then I'd be able to sit and learn with my son in the restaurant. Again, like we saw, Rav Elyasha perhaps would not agree with such a thing, but that was what this elderly man decided to do. Similarly, another reich from the Lev Lachim organization, Kiruv, he was learning with a fellow, a man, and they were, again, you know, non-religious man, and the things were going good. They were decided to learn Gemara together, learning Maseches Brachos. But it was interesting that this man would, like every now and then, even though it had nothing to do with the Gemara exactly they were learning, he would ask him shailas. Most of the time when Shaila's dealing with monetary issues, what would happen if this, and what happened with that. So, very interesting Shaila's, and a lot of times the Avreich didn't even have the answer, you know, offhand. He would go back to his kolol, discuss it, and come back with an answer, whatever. Okay, so that was, it was just like here and there. But then, as they continued learning, it became like, it was almost daily, it was these firing questions about this and about that. And like, where is these things coming from? Anyway, so he approached, he asked him, he said, well, you know, I enjoy learning with you and everything. We're learning Maseches Brachos, and all of a sudden, every day you're firing these questions at me about Dinei Mamonos, you know, about these monetary issues, this, that, constantly. What's going on? Well, anyways, the man decided, okay, I'll let you in on the secret. He said that, by profession, what am I? He says, I'm a judge in the secular court here in Haifa. And, I, you know, when I started learning with you in the Torah, I thought the Torah has a very interesting viewpoint of, you know, how to handle monetary issues, whatever. And therefore, when these different shilas, so to speak, come up in the courts, I brought them to you, and I wanted to see what the Torah had to say about it. And, I followed, you know, what the Torah had to say, because I thought it was quite interesting and a good way of approaching things, whatever. And that's why I've been asking you these shilas, the shilas that came up in my court. Anyway, so the Lev Lachim of the Avreich, he had the Shaila, is this okay? Can he do this? Because we know it's usher to go to, you know, secular courts. And he's helping this judge, you know, in secular courts. Is it to help him out? You know, is that okay or not? That was his Shaila. So Rav Zilberstein, part of his answer, he brought another Shaila. There was similar. The Gabe secular courts. There was two yetomim, orphans, that they had a very tragic story. What happened was they were once crossing the street with their mother. And some Michigana driver was driving crazy, fast, whatever, and he didn't see them. And he ran over the mother. Right when the kids were standing right there, ran over the mother and killed her right on the spot. And not only that, that was bad enough, but there was a hit and run. He ran over the mother and he drove off. So nowadays, with cameras and things like that, they were able to locate the car and locate the owner of the car, whatever. So obviously, this guy was in for probably a nice fat jail term or whatever. It's bad enough killing a person, but hit and run, you know. So one of the orphans gets a call, and from this man that was hit and run, and he said to him to the following. He said that he wants to make a deal. It's a deal with the kid. Why? He said that right now, okay, the car, whatever, but in order that I should be put behind bars, right, they have to have witnesses. And there's nobody there to witness except for you. So if you, you know, testify against me, fine, I'm doomed, I'm in jail, and that's that. He says, I'll tell you what, he told the kid, I'll give you X amount of money, a tremendous sum of money, if you don't testify. says, because you know, he says, listen, he says, you're, you know, you lost your mother, whatever, you can lose the money. I'd have to, you know, pay a tremendous sum of money and end up in jail, whatever. Anyway, so I'd rather, you know, pay you the money, and for you, I'm sure you can use it, and so, and then I won't be, you know, saves me the jail term, whatever. So the Yatomim didn't know what to do. Right? Should they accept the money? Not accept the money? Can they accept it? Should they? Lamaisa, they really wanted to see this guy behind bars to teach him a lesson. And other people, you know, shouldn't do what he did, whatever. But Tzacheni, you know, such a lot of money. They want to know what to do. So such a Shaila, a little bit need broad shoulders to answer. So they asked Rav Elyashiv. That's all. What to do? So he said, interestingly enough, he says, even if the guy killed wantonly, you know, this wasn't, he didn't mean to kill the woman, obviously, but he was careless, but he didn't do it b'mezid, he didn't do it wantonly. He said, even if he would have killed the b'mezid, the courts have no authority, you know, halachically, you know, to put this guy behind bars. And therefore, Rashi brings down, he says, there's three cases in which you're allowed to put a person behind bars, etc. And the courts have no samchut, they have no authority to halakhically to do such a thing. So Rav Elyashiv said, therefore, no problem for them not to bear tazer, because they even if the guy really did it, they really shouldn't testify. Because this guy's going to end up behind bars, and halachically, he doesn't. That's not what the halachic psak would be, and therefore, there's no problem with them not testifying. They probably shouldn't testify anyways. And then, besides that, they get a bonus. They get all this money. So that was the psak. As an answer, though, to this original shaila about this avreich to learning with this judge, you know, the different Jewish. Viewpoint of the monetary issues, he said, yeah, lefech, it's a good thing to learn with him. Because at least this way, you know, he'll save him, because it says, Elu mishpatim shetasim lifneihem, and you have to, you know, you have to judge according to the Torah. And lefech, you're going to help him judge according to the Torah. Okay, he's not supposed to be in the courts or whatever. Okay, you're right. But, you know, little by little, one thing at a time, at least you can save him. If you can't save him from every yisr, you can save him from something. So here you can save him from judging not according to the Torah and help him judge according to the Torah. And then maybe one day, eventually, he'll leave the courts. Okay, so I guess that takes care of that for today. So we should all be zoiche to follow the haras we've seen tonight, and many of the various haras from the Gedolei Poskim, and continue to follow, use them as our guiding light. And if we do so, we'll follow in the right path, and Hashem reward us with all the good, including the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, b'mehir v'yameinu. Amen.